Would you repeat after me? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I have eyes that see.
I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear. And my heart does perceive.
And my heart does perceive.
That you're talking to me.
That you're talking to me.
Amen.
Amen.
This afternoon, when I went and get some lunch, the Lord had given me a page number out of a book. And I went to it, and of course, the subject is no different than what was on Sunday. God's love. And so I backed up the page, and I was pressed to share this little piece that I pray will help you to understand how difficult it is to come to the understanding of His love for us. And this piece of information, I pray, will go into your heart. So I'm just going to ask you to just close your eyes and just listen. This title does not mean much unless we know that He is our Father. You say, God loves me. And note the reaction in your soul. Then you whisper, the Father Himself loveth me. And you say, my Father loves me now. You get no sense of nearness from the word God, but you cannot say the word Father without a sense of relationship. Intruding, pushing itself into your consciousness. So I linger over this precious fact that the Father Himself loves me. My heart asks, how much does He love me? Jesus answered, Father, that they may know that Thou lovest them, even as Thou lovest me. Then the Father loves me, even as He loves Jesus. I cannot understand it. I cannot reason it out. I take it to my heart and thank Him for it. How utterly beautiful it is. How utterly beyond reason. How out of the harmony with everlasting and everything that I have ever known. It just seems as though we were lifted into a new realm when He whispers that the Father loves me, even as He loves Jesus. I feel like a prince, as though I reign in the realm of love. It is so utterly new and wonderful. This Father God is love, and He gives this love nature to me. But we are loved, love's children, and children of love. I cannot take it in. It is too wonderful, and yet I hold it to my breast. I shed tears of joy. He loves me. I cannot understand the Father, why He should love me so. But He does. We reach our best and we do our best. We are at our best in a love atmosphere. Children grow up best in homes of love. Husbands do their best work when love waits for them at home. Wives do their best work when they are expecting love to come home and command it. Now I can see why every thought, every motive, every act outside of love dwarfs us, binds us, holds us in bondage, keeps us from our best. Every love act enriches us. Every love thought makes us better. We think love, then we act love. What a plan it was that planned love for the human. Love promotes health. God is love. God is my healer. Love is my healer. Now I can understand why bitter thoughts upset stomach and disturb the circumstances of the circulation of the blood. I'm sorry. Why bitter thoughts upset the stomach and disturb the circulation of the blood. I can understand why when a mother is nursing a baby and is filled with anger and bitterness, that the milk poisons the child. God never intended that the mother should have anything but thoughts of love while she nurses her child. She should love her husband and everyone around her until her milk is made sweet with her love. I can understand why every step outside of love is a challenge to disease and failure, unhappiness and weakness. I can understand now that there is only one sin for the believer, and that is to step outside of love. All other sins are the children of the mother sin of sins. If I walk in love, I will never sin. Isn't that wonderful? That solves the problem of human conduct. To live in love, love's realm, and to learn love's language, love's methods, and love's ways is a liberal education. Now we will whisper again, God is love, and this love, God is my Father. I am his child. I am in love's family. Jesus is love. Jesus is the way of love. Where we walk the Jesus way, where we walk the love way, Jesus was love in action. Love in manifestation. I will be the same. I will love him. I will walk with him. I will introduce him to the world in my daily life. For God, my Father, is love. For God, my Father, is love. When we realize that we make choices to love, it doesn't always happen maybe the way that you give it out to someone, because they can't receive it for whatever purpose or reason. But if their situations are so filled with old patterns that they've never tasted love and never experienced love, all they've experienced is manipulation and rejection. Their whole thought pattern is upside down from yours. And we saw some of that on Sunday when we talked about how one scripture can say something to you and the other person realizes it from their perspective that it's not saying the same words to them, because they're screening it through a whole process of rejection and abuse. Many years ago, I had a young lady that I worked with for a number of months, close to probably years actually. And I remember one day where she came into my office and she had a list, and I saw her once a week for an hour. Her list was like this, and it was a list of all the do's and don'ts that I would be allowed to do if I was to continue our relationship. Just a moment. And she was serious. And so I looked at this after she said this to me, that, you know, if I was going to be her friend, that I needed to adjust and never to do, and I was probably, I would say, maybe 20 things. And I looked at her and I said, you really mean this, right? Oh, she says, you have no idea how long it took for me to write all this down. And she says, it's very serious. I said, Where did you get the list from? Oh, she says, before we were married, she says, I made my husband to be agree that he would never do this list. And I says, and he still married you? Is he crazy? He's not your husband, he's your slave.
Amen.
And I refuse to be your slave. So I said, you can take your list.
Oh. Nice.
And edit.
Well, I was very nice. I offered her the match.
Right out.
And she could burn it if she wanted to, or take it home and frame it, and watch each line be disintegrated by the power and blood of Jesus Christ. And I said, once you understand the power of his blood and his love for you and my caring for you is not conditioned on my behavior towards you, it's conditioned on the way that Jesus died for you on that cross. And I said, I don't want to take his place. I will not be crucifying my future just to have a relationship with you. Not because I don't care about you, but I'm not going to lie to you to make you happy or adjust my way of responding like your husband has chosen to do, and that's his business, not mine. But you're not a wife to him. And you need to change it if you can. And if you can't, the Lord can change it for you. I said, the way of love is respect. You need to respect every person that's in your family and every person. Oh, she says, I can't do that. I said, since when? I said, Philippians 4:13 says you can do all things through Christ. Who loves you? Well, that's not for me, she says. I said, well, then you better read again what the book of Philippians is all about. It's for people who have mental torment, and you're one of them. She says, how do you know? I said, anybody with your list doesn't have to have a very big degree to recognize that you're wounded. And you want others to be adjusting their life according to your standards, and your standards are upside down. So why should I join you in your upside down behavior and your upside down feelings? It's time that God and people who love you turn you upside where you need to be with your hands lifted high to the Lord. Oh, she says, I worship. I said, yes, you worship. I'm not saying you didn't, but you better learn to worship and to respect. Respect the God who made you, but respect your friends and respect the family of God. Because I said, otherwise, you're going to be very unhappy as you go forward. And she was in her 30s. All I can tell you is she pondered this for several weeks and then wrote me a letter and thanked me, but did not appreciate the truth. And I reminded her that she had a choice, and I would respect her will and her choices. But she also had to learn to respect mine. It's a two-way street. In the body of Christ, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to make myself something different just to be accepted by you or keep you comfy in your chair or in your pew or wherever you happen to be. And I said, those who become, oh, but I have a lot of friends. I said, really?
You go, Pastor.
Really? And I'm not picking on women now, because there's some men that have done the same thing. I'm not saying that, you know, one or the other is any different. Wounded people want others to perform for them.
Amen.
Rather than Jesus, who loves us, and our Heavenly Father, who loves us, is not expecting us to perform for him. He's wanting us to accept what he did and to remind ourselves of why his son went on that cross. And when we realize why he went to that cross, We're going to pick up what we put on the side earlier.
Okay.
Because I can see it now. It just flashed in. 2 days ago, I am in my chair in my family room, and the Holy Spirit drips down a thought pattern. Just plop! What are you going to do with this, Kim? And it was a picture, mental picture, of Jesus with his resurrected body, able to walk through walls, able to be in different places, and to function as a man. And the thought was this that came in with it. When my Father in heaven created Adam and Eve, he was the first Adam. Jesus is the second Adam. And you can verify that in the scripture. The love of the Father for Adam and the love of the Father for Jesus was the same. Because a lot of times we think that Adam and Eve had a body like ours. But he didn't. He had a body like Jesus. He had a resurrected body because he never died. He had no bloods in his veins, but he could still function as a spirit man. And Eve was a spirit woman. She was not flesh and blood with weaknesses like you and me. And when Jesus came back to be prepared and to be released into Mary, it was a spiritual seed. It wasn't a flesh seed. Yes, a form was made, and a body like the ones that we have was given to him without sin. So he reminded me, my heavenly Father loves your spiritual being as much as he does his son, because he's not a respecter of persons.
Come on now.
And I said, Papa, Abba, Daddy, I'm like you. He said, yes, inside. This outside shell will be changed or resurrected. It's up to you. It will be changed when who shows up?
Jesus.
Yes! When is he coming back? He's coming back for a bride that is ready.
That's right. Without blemish.
Without problems and sin in it. We're still functioning with sins. But there's a day coming soon when he's dealing with that less. The day of atonement has not been completed yet to the degree that it's going to be. Am I making any sense to you? And the day of tabernacles, when he tabernacles fully in us, all the sin nature will be eradicated.
Amen.
There will be no way that you will be able to look at a man or a woman who's born of the Spirit and still see sin in him. Because it's not going to be. We're still living in the day of Pentecost. And we're shaking bread that's not perfect. But when we get the future and the fullness of Christ in us is manifested, you will definitely be changing your world and your surroundings. So what is the Father's love and why does he love us? Does he love the earth suit or does he love the spirit man?
Spirit.
Yes. I mean, he's got to put up with this because we have to put up with it. We're waiting for the next revelation. And when he brings that next revelation up, it's going to be an awesome day. And you know, when sin came into Adam and Eve, their whole nature changed. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Why did their nature change? Because they died. The Lord had told them, if death entered in. Death entered in, and they ended up with, well, maybe not one of these, but a body that was different than the original. So keep that in mind in the future when you hear a lot of these ideas that come out of different ways and denominations. The Holy Spirit is going to spill the beans on everybody. And he's going to fill the body of believers with his truth by revelation knowledge. I wasn't thinking about anything like this when he plopped that into my heart. And I know that I have that knowing inside that he needs to do the same to you. Because I'm giving you this word, but I'm also asking the Holy Ghost to reveal it to you so that it'll come to you the way he wants it to, so that it'll register inside of you that your future body is going to be like Jesus and like Adam and Eve when they were not a failure, when they were sons and daughters of the Father. Now, would you do me a favor? Would you close your eyes and lift your hands to the Lord? Say, Lord Jesus, this is a good message.
This is a good message.
It's all about your love for me.
It's all about your love for me.
And I want to taste.
And I want to taste
the future now.
The future now.
I want to get to understand.
I want to get to understand.
By the spirit of understanding. My future is not bleak.
My future is not bleak.
It is alive in God.
It is alive in God.
And the day of tabernacles will happen to me.
And the day of tabernacles will happen.
I'll be stepping out. Of all these old patterns. And the fullness of my Father. Will indwell me. The days of Pentecost.
Are coming to an end.
And I give you all the praise, my Father.
Download this truth to me.
Give me the scriptures.
To verify it.
Because it's hidden in your word. And I don't want to walk away. From the truth that you have for me. Make it real for me, Lord.
Make it real for me, Lord.
So that I can digest it. And understand it. And your spirit of understanding. Is dumping it on me tonight.
Come on now.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
All right now.
Thank you, Lord.
You just got dumped on.
Dump truck.
Yes. And you're sliding all the way home, huh?
Woohoo!
Home, huh?
Woohoo!
Home, huh?
Woohoo!
Home, huh?
Woo-hoo!